Hey friends, we are back. It is .NET Conf 2017. Just a reminder that this is day two and that we have done two streams today. We have two streams tomorrow. There's like 30 or 40 more sessions coming up and all of these are recorded. So even though you can ask questions and we encourage you to ask questions live, do remember that all of this is recorded so you can join us at your leisure in the future. Remember also that day three includes two tracks, one of which is beginner day. So we're going to have 2 hours at a very slow pace on .NET Core, as well as 2 great hours on C-sharp and also F-sharp, including Fable. So be sure to please tell the beginners in your life, tweet, Facebook, Orkut, Google+, both of you on Google+, whatever it takes, get the word out that .NET Conf still has another great day coming. Right now, joining me is Chris Woodruff, developer advocate from JetBrains, as we continue our community day here. And he's going to talk about internationalization in ASP.NET. Thank you, Chris. Take it away.
Thanks, Scott. So first, I want to appreciate and thank everyone for coming and watching all these talks. So it's been great. I've been watching a lot of them over the last 2 days. Excellent content and speakers. So let's get into my talk. So I have a lot of information to get through. So we're going to be talking about ASP.NET Core 2.0, MVC apps, and we're going to talk about what happens when you want to make them enabled for international users. The world's getting a lot smaller place, so you know we need to start thinking about this. So let's look at the agenda. So we're going to give a little overview of internationalization, and then we're going to dig into how we globalize an ASP.NET Core 2.0 project. And then we're going to take a look at resource files and some hints I've kind of figured out and naming standards and all that good stuff and how to create them and share them. Then we're going to go into localization of our ASP.NET Core 2.0 MVC projects. Slightly different from globalization. We'll talk about that. And then I have a nice little demo where I show how we can allow a user to select a culture and save that out to a cookie so our application can reuse that. It's pretty easy, should not take any time at all. Then we'll take a look at how to internationalize our data annotations. And finally, we'll look at how to create a custom provider. And we'll talk about that later. So in my world, I kind of view things as two things coming together for internationalization. Now, everyone has different ideas. I have globalization, I have a term for, and then I have localization, and they both mean different things to me. And then they both merge and to meet the definition of internationalization. So let's go into those definitions real quick before we get into some code and some demos. So globalization is really just the process of building our application so that we can work with cultures. And we'll take a look at what a culture is, but it really is getting the groundwork, building the foundation for your application so that we can use English, American English, or American, or English from Great Britain, or English from Canada, French, any language that that Windows supports, we can use. We also want to write that code that functions well in any supported culture. So there's lots of different cultures. Some cultures have like a kanji character set, and some go right to left, and some go left to right. So we want to build our globalization software and our code to handle all those cultures. So we're going to be looking at languages, currencies, in this talk. I'll show you some stuff around date and time formatting. That's really simple. And then beyond this, we also should look at numeric and weights and measures conventions and time zones. And there's lots of other things that I won't get to in this talk, but just remember that you probably should. Now, localization in my world, how I define it, is translating the user interface to accept those cultures that we built with globalization. It also means that sometimes we have to build our UIs to handle where our cultures can affect the size of things. So like as a great example, the French language is very verbose. It's a great language. I studied it in high school. I love it. But it is very verbose. So it does add on another 20-25% more characters than a typical phrase in American English. So just be aware that we do have to build our UI sometimes so that they can resize based on localization also. So let's dig into globalization. So what we're going to be doing first is building a tiny app that I want you to understand how to work with cultures. So when we work with cultures, we have three different providers that we can use. We have the culture string request culture provider, the cookie request culture provider, and the accept language header request culture provider. That is a mouthful. So these three providers will handle all the different ways that we can give the culture setting to our application. So query string is adding on a chunk of text onto our HTTP actually our URL that we send back. And I'll show that. The cookie is setting up a cookie for our application. And the last one is getting the accept language header request, which will show by setting the culture in our browser. So let's dig in and look at some code. So I have a very small, this isn't even an MVC app. This is just a ASP.NET web app. So all we have is a startup program. And what I want to show is it doesn't take much code to do our globalization. So the first thing we have to do in our configure in our startup is to bring in our cultures. So this is just a list of culture info objects. And you can see that in our culture info, we're just giving a string that represents our culture. Now I want to talk about that. EN-US is the culture for US English. So if we break it down into each half, we have EN being English, and that's the culture. And then the capitalized part is what we call the UI culture. So that would be basically the country that the generic language is used in. So there are differences between English and other types of languages that span multiple countries. US has different spellings than, say, Great Britain or Australia. And then we have some other cultures that we're going to bring into this app, to this tiny application. So we've got ES-ES, which is Spanish, DE-DE, which is German, FR, which is French, and SV-SE, which is Swedish. So love the Swedish language. Don't know it very well, but been there a couple times, and it's a great place, so I wanted to incorporate that into my application and say hi to all the people from Sweden. So we have our supported cultures for our application. The next thing we're going to do is bring in some code that will set up our request localization options. Now we need this because this is the object that will feed into our application that will say what the cultures are and what the default culture is. So as you can see in this option, we have default request culture that we're going to set to English US. And then I'm just setting the supported cultures and the supported UI cultures both to our supported culture list that we created above. And then we're going to feed in that options into the use request localization method on our app. And at this point, we are all set with our globalization. It's that simple. It's not very hard. So everything I show you tonight, this afternoon, is going to be very simple. So anyone can do this. If I can do it, trust me, anybody can do it. So the last thing we need to do is to represent and show what some output from our application. So let's do that. Grab a little bit of code, bring that in. So this last thing is something that's beyond localization, but it's something that most people don't know about. So if you do an app.run, that will allow you to set up a delegate that will allow you to kind of tap into the application's request pipeline, the HTTP request and response pipeline. So what I've done here is I'm just setting up a response. So I'm setting up a response and giving a status code at 200 and then giving a context type of text that slash HTML because I want to show a table on the in the browser. And then I'm going to go out and get the current culture and the current UI culture and get those display names so I can display those in my output. And then I'm going to build a table, and then I'm just going to set that table in the response write async method. So let us, if this all compiles, it should work. So let's take a look. Okay, so it is coming up. Okay. So let me make this a little bit bigger so people can see it. So right now we have a table that holds a number of different items. So our detected culture is English. Our detected UI culture is also English, United States. And then I just wanted to show today's date based on the culture, a formatted number, and then a currency value. So we'll take a look in a second at those. But if I come in and I want to change over to France, what I do is I add on a question mark culture equals FR-FR for the French culture. And you can see that automatically what happened was that request came back to the application and then my code that you see in the delegate in the run method picked up the new culture and then outputted that. So you'll see that it's French. You'll see today's date as the French equivalent. You'll also see a formatted number and then the currency, which is in pounds. And then so I can show you if I can also set up German. So there's German. So let us take a look at this. Let's take a look at how we get the formatted number and the formatted currency. So in here, I just have a 42 for the currency, and I'm just giving it a C. It's that simple. The string formatters in ASP.NET Core pick up that and automatically change your currency and formatted numbers. Like up here, I have it formatted with a colon N, and that is automatically, you don't have anything to do. You just have to do it. You just have to set that, and .NET Core takes over and formats those based on the culture. And also the date, I give it the date of now, and it just sets it up because I gave it a colon D. So that's a little bit about how to do dates and formatted numbers and currencies also. So a little tidbit for you guys. So the interesting thing with this also is because when I set my request localization up, you remember the three providers that we talked about? Those are automatically set up for my application. So not only do we have the request, the URL request provider, but we also get the cookie provider and we get the header, the accept language request header provider. So let's take a look at those now. So if I rerun this application, okay, we're back to English because that's our default language. If I come in to Chrome and I come over to the application and down here in cookies, there are no cookies right now, but I can create a cookie in Chrome that will allow me to set a culture up. So if I come in and let me open up a notepad font and make that 18. If I come in and in Chrome in the console, I say document.cookie, and then in the string, I say .asp.asp.net/core.culture equals, and then I'm going to give it a C equals fr-fr and then a pipe and then UIC fr-fr. What this is saying is I'm saying a cookie, and this has to be the name of the cookie. So that is by default, that is what the cookie provider is looking for in your application. So it has to be that name. So let's set that in and create that. If I go back to application, you'll see that my cookie is now created. And if I refresh the page, my application now is using French. Now I could come back and say culture equals German, and it will set to German. So those three providers that we talked about are in order of precedence. So if I set the culture in the URL, that overrides anything the other two providers. If I set the cookie, that will override the accept header. So let's test out the accept header now. So I'm back to English. I have an application or extension in Chrome called Choose Language. Now, if I go out and take a look at that, if I take a look at that in the store, so language switcher, it's just a nice, easy way to switch your language in your browser. So I've already installed that in Chrome. And let's go back, and I'm going to now set my language to Swedish. So if I set to Swedish Sweden and I refresh, it now detects Swedish as my default. And I can prove that by going over to my network and taking a look at the local host, the call, and taking a look at my request header. And you can see down here that my request header sent over SV-SE, which is what my browser is set up for. But now watch, if I come in and come back in here and create that cookie over again and refresh this, it's French. And if I come in and set my URL culture to German, it'll be German. So just understand that there is an order of precedent with this. But that's basically how to work and to work with globalization. So I think we're in a good spot with that. So we're going to move on and look at some resource files now. So if anyone does have questions, we're going to leave the last 10 to 15 minutes for questions. So you're welcome to ask any questions that you want. So I have, there's a tool called ResGen that I use to create my resource files, my ResX files that I use in my application. If I open up here, and I have a Git repository with all of these demos, and I'll show that at the end of the talk. But in that repository, I do have resource files for controllers, views, and data annotations. So let's take a look at the controller resources because they're each used in different ways. So as you can see, I've got a number of different text files, and I've got a number of different resource files. So if I take a look at, let's take a look at the home controllers for home controller. And I'm going to edit that. Well, let's do this. Let me bring up one. So in Notepad, this is what you would set up if you wanted to work with, say you wanted to work with a business analyst or someone that was doing translations for you. You didn't want to have to give them this, which, sorry about that. Opened up Visual Studio and Accent. So if I open up this res file, you can see that this is the resource editor that I get. But if I were to open that up the same one in, like I said, I want to open that up in Notepad so we can see it raw. You get this really complex XML. Now, this XML is, for a common person, for someone that doesn't understand XML, would be really difficult to understand. As you can see, here's basically, this is the section down here that we're using to show the data. So if I gave this to someone that was translating these resources for me, I would give them this file. I would say I would have a colon and then some kind of name description for what the resource is. And then I would say like album one name, and then I could say equal, and then essence of a healthy soul. That's an album name that I have in my demo application. And then the same thing with description. So basically, we just set up a text file with all these different resource settings. And what we do is we can hold on, bear with me. What we can do is go out to a certain area on Windows. Now in my case, I go out to where I find this ResGen executable is under Program Files, x86, Microsoft SDKs, Windows version 10.0a, bin, and it's underneath the NetFX 4.6.2 tools. So I go there, and let's do that again to CD in there. And then If I say ResGen, I get access to that. So this is just all the help material. But if I wanted to generate a number of these files, I could open up, I'm going to show you this in Notepad so you can see. What I'm saying is I'm going to say ResGen, and then I'm going to give it the name of my text file, so I have to explicitly say where it's at, so it's under in my repository, my Git repository. So, but the final name is controllers.homecontroller.sv-se.text, and then my output is just the same name but with a different file extension on it, RESX, ResX. So it's that simple to create your resource files. So just in case you do want to get someone to help you translate, there are services that you can pay for translations, or if you have someone on your team, or just if someone wants to create these, what I did is I use Bing Translate and Google Translate to create all my stuff. So I've got that. So in the end, you'll come out with all these resource files. They'll be nice and clean. They'll be in the correct XML format, and you can use them in your application. So resource files we looked at, again, it's resgen.exe. You'll probably have a couple of different copies of that on your file system. Just I found the newest one and used that one. And again, it's really working with your business analyst or the people that are going to be translating, doing the translations for you. So now let's get into actually working with an MVC application in ASP.NET Core 2.0 and show how we can localize our application through controllers. Let me get the right project. Okay. So again, I have my startup.cs. You can see that I do have the same code that I used in my culture demo, setting up the cultures and doing the request localization options. I don't have that delicate to tap into the output because I'm actually having a full application. But what I do have to do is add one thing. So I do have to add up here in my configure services, I have to add a line of code that says services.addLocalization. Now the reason for this is the application needs one to know that it's going to be using localization. And also it needs to set it up so I can do dependency injection into my controllers. And also it needs to know where those resources are stored. So it needs to know the resource path. So as you can see over here, I do have all my resources in my application. Now there is one thing I'm going to jump back into my slide deck and show you. I'm going to show you some naming standards because you can name your controllers in different ways and set them up in your application in different ways. So you can set them up in any place in your application. I call them resources just so people know what they are. But after that, there's really multiple ways of doing it. So for controllers, I could say controllers dot homecontroller.en-us or just en-resix. So what this is doing is it actually has a file name of controllers.homecontroller.en.resix, or I could create a, under resources, I could create a controllers folder which holds all of my individual files for each controller. So I could say resources/controller/homecontroller.en-resix. Now, you can do either way. I prefer not to have a huge amount of folders and hierarchy. So I go with the blue, the top naming standard, but you can do whichever one you want. So again, you can see that I do have just all my controllers underneath the resources folder in my project. I do have add localization. So at this point, I am good on the globalization side in my application. Now let's go over to my home controller and take a look. So I talked about in the services, when I say when I'm adding my localization, it's allowing me to inject the localizer into my controller using dependency injection. So for your controllers, we need to set that up. So most controllers don't have a constructor. So we're going to create a constructor, but first we're going to create a private read-only variable, and that will be an iString localizer. Now there's different kinds of localizers. There's an iHTML localizer. If you're going to do localization that incorporates HTML, but we're just going to be using strings, just straight strings for our text. So that we're going to use an iString localizer, and then we're going to make it use the home controller, and then we're going to give it a variable name. And then in our home controller constructor, we're going to inject the localizer into here, and we're going to set that. So now we have our localizer that we set up in our setup.cs file in the setup for the application. And you know, we don't have a lot of time. I've got a lot of demos, so I'm going to push in all of my viewbag settings. So in here, the localizer knows, based on the naming standard that I use for my resource files, it knows where to go out based on the home controller that I send into this iString localizer. So it knows about home, because if I open that up, as you can see, I have home in this resource file, and in here in my controller, I am setting up and getting that value from that resource file and setting it to my view data as home, as the home type. So if I were to come over and take a look at the view just gets the view data and just uses it, just like we do with anything else coming over from the controller. So basically, I'm doing like any other MVC developer does. So I'm just using the view data object to give all my information. So what you'll see is I have all this album one name, album one description, and everything. So this is all good to go. Let's run this and take a look at the application. Sometimes it takes a second. Okay. So this comes up in Sweden, in Swedish. I thought our default was English. Huh. Well, you know what? I'm actually reusing the same project over and over again, so it's actually using the same port. if you take a look at the application, you'll see that the same cookie that we created a while ago has been kept around. So if I delete that cookie and then refresh this, it goes back to English. So just remember, if you start seeing some different stuff, sometimes it might be that cookie that gets set that you didn't realize was still around. So this is a little test application. And again, this is in all the demos that you'll find in my GitHub repository. But it's basically just shows featured albums. These are all made up albums that I created. And they just have different text and different information. You'll see register has English and login. But if I come in and set this to French, everything gets sent over to French. Okay, so everything that we set up in our controller now comes over in whatever language, supported language for our application that we did. Now, if I come over to register and I do the same thing and I put on that culture, you'll see that I say even set up my register. So even though the register view was is totally created by the .NET templates, I can still go in and work with those. And same thing with the login. Now, the one thing that's interesting is this remember me. Using Vuebag, I cannot set that checkbox, but I'm going to show you how we can do that with data annotations in a little while. But everything else is set and changed over to French. So that's really how easy it is to work with controller-based localization. It's very simple, especially with the ASP.NET Core 2.0 dependency injection. That was a godsend, and I really thank the .NET Core team for building dependency injection in from the very foundation of .NET Core. It's really helped out a lot in all things that I do as a developer for .NET Core. So I'm done with this one. I'm going to now come back and take a look at our slides again. We looked at the demo. Now we're going to take a look at localization for views. And really, all this really does is, instead of injecting into the controller, we're going to be injecting into the view. So we have to do a few things different. We have to say, using Microsoft.ASP.NET Core.MVC.localization. So we're going to be using that in our view. And then we're going to inject our iView localizer, and we're going to call it localizer with a capital L. That's why I called it. And we'll take a look at code, but I wanted to show you this kind of sample of code first. And then we will set the view data for whatever we need to be coming out of that localizer, which understands the resources, because we'll take a look at how to set the view localizer up in a second. And then we can use the view data like we do for anything else. But before we do this, I do want to talk about the naming standards for resource files. Again, it's the same thing like with controllers. We can have view.home.index.en.resix, or we can set up another folder for views and have resources/views/home/index. So there's actually, for this, there's actually three folders. There's a resource folders, a views. So whichever way you want to do it, you can even probably set up views/home.index.en. So whatever you want to do, as long as it fits into that naming schema, so that ASP.NET Core understands if it's controllers or views, what the controller is, and then what the action is inside your controller, then you should be fine. Okay, let's take a look at the demo. Okay, so here is another version of the Chinook Music Store, the same music store that we looked at before, but we're going to set this up for local view localization. So what we have to do with this is, apologize, I'm getting some code. So we still have the add localization because we need to know where the resource files are. We still have the same code to set up our supported cultures and create the request localization option. So you're going to do that for every project. But the one thing that we need to do is, because we are working with an MVC application and the views are MVC views, we do need to tell MVC that we're going to be adding view localization. So that's what this call is. So we can say add view localization, and then we can give it the language view location expander format suffix, and then we give some options, and then we say where those resources are, which is a little different. I always add this add localization up here, even though there is some redundancy. I just add it just to make sure that I cover all my bases, so to say, because there are some tricky things. I found some issues along the way. Maybe they're fixed with 2.0, .NET Core 2.0. But I just add both, add localization, and then I do the add view localization on top of add MVC. So let's go in to our view and take a look. So again, we talked about we have to inject that iView localizer that was set up. We go back. This call sets up the iView localizer for our project. And we are going to inject that into our view here. And then if I come in and add all of my settings, so my localizer knows where my resource files are, because again, those are all underneath my resources folder. And with the views, I'm not a big fan of view localization. I do more with controllers, just because controllers seem to be a little more easier to handle. With the views, there's just a lot more files to work with and have to manage where all those localized settings are at. But if you want to do views, go ahead. I think they're a little more focused. But for me, controller-based is the easier one to do, but there's also view. So I set up all my view. All of my markup is set up to handle this. If I come in and run this, we should get everything. Wow, I am running out of time. So if Scott is back at the studio, ask him to give me another 5 minutes, please. So I can come in here and set culture to French. Again, it's set up. It's that easy. So view localization is not very hard. So let us take a look at a few more quick demos. And let's see. Okay. So with this, I'm going to show you this, and then I'm going to ask you just to go out and take a look at the demo in my repository. I'll quickly go through the code, but we don't have a whole lot of time at this point. So this is a project. This is in addition to the controller localization that I set up a drop down here at the bottom that has all of my supported languages, my supported cultures in my application, and I can set those. And when I press save, well, we're already on English. So if I said Spanish, it sets and it changes my Spanish. It actually, if I come in here, it actually set up a cookie for this application. So let's take a look at the code real quick. How we get the UI part is I have a partial that I set up by my cultures in this. I do have iView localizer. And then down here, I set up a drop-down list. And basically, it's just drop-down list, and it goes back and it calls my home controller to an action called set language. That's where the magic is all at. So let's take a look at that controller. At the bottom of this controller, I have a set language. So in here, I send over my controller, and I send over my return URL so that when it's done, I redirect back. But in here, I can set up a cookie, and I can create a cookie for my application. So I have response, cookies, append. But what I do in here is I say cookie request culture provider dot default cookie name. Remember, for cultures, for ASP.NET Core, you have to have the default cookie name so it understands what cookie it's looking for. And then I'm making that cookie value with the request culture being what I sent in. So if it was French, it would be fr-fr. And then I have to give some options for this cookie. And I have to at least give it how long it's going to expire. So this is the cookie expires in 1 year. And then at the end, I'm just going to return back to the URL that I was on, and it refreshes the page, and you can see the updates. So that is that. So the last demo that I want to show is for data annotation, and I'm going to open up this. And forgive me, I don't think I'm going to be able to show you a custom provider, but if you want to take a look at the custom provider code, just go out to my repository. I'll show it to you at the end of the slide deck. In data annotations, again, we have resources. In here, I do have the controller resources. I also have a subfolder that's holding all of my models. So in here, what I want to do is change all of the internationalize all of the settings for my login view model. So if you see my login view model, I have an error message set to required, an error message for if it doesn't meet the format for an email address, then I get something else. And this isn't the error message. This is actually the resource setting that it's going to go look for. And then display your email. It will actually go out to the resource and get the setting for your email and show whatever version based on culture for email. Now, how we set this up is in startup, in addition to add view localization like we did and add localization up here for the controllers, I have to give it an add data annotations localization call. So it understands that it's going to do localization for data annotations also. And in here, well, that's pretty much it. So if I take a look here, it's set up. Now it knows that if it finds any of these text-based stuff for for your data annotations, it's actually going to go out and look for it in the resource file. So let's run this. And go out to my login. And as you can see, it is setting even the remember me. As you can remember, I said that it's almost impossible to set this remember me and as either the controller or the view localization. But it's easy to set it for data annotations because it's actually changing it from the data annotation layer level of your view model. So as you can see, I can change my languages and all of those get changed, not only from the controller side, like some of these are controller based localizations like here, but and the button, but everything in here, like if I set that up, you can see that my error message for my email was also set to show a Swedish error message. So that is about it. So the last demo I was going to show was custom provider, but you know what? I know I'm not going to have time for that, and I have some I know I'm going to have to answer some questions. So if I go to the end of my slide deck. So I just want to let you guys also know that LinkedIn Learning, I develop courses for LinkedIn Learning, and I do have a course out on this subject coming later this month, so keep an eye on that. Here is my GitHub repository. So if you go out to github.com/cwoodruff, and just find the .NET Conf 2017-I18N. I18N is a shortened abbreviation for internationalization. And then in the end, if you do need to get hold of me, here's my email address, chris.woodruff@jetbrains.com. And my Twitter is just cwoodruff. So thanks. Scott, do we have any questions?
Hey, Chris, this is Javier. Actually,
Javier.
Scott had to step out for a bit, last minute emergency. We don't have any questions right now. So you said your slides are going to be out on GitHub?
Everything is out on GitHub. So Okay. Everything that you need, everything that I showed you is out on GitHub, and that
Excellent. Is
out at my repository, .NET Conf 2017_I18N.
Perfect. And what we'll do here also with the session, we're going to take his slides and we're going to put it out there in Channel 9 for everybody to download, like look at it. So you can both have the code and the session and the video at the same time. Well, I think that wraps it up. Chris, thank you so much for spending the time with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Javier. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. And that's it for now. We're going to go into a quick commercial break until we bring our next speaker up. Thanks so much.